Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to equip you all with the latest evidence-based advice that you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, soon to be author of The Science of Nutrition out December the 30th, 2021, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each episode, we are going to be joined by guests, all of whom are experts in their field, so that together we can all learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with our trusted expert advice. More of us are going flexitarian, so you won't be alone if you've questioned what you eat. And I'm not just referring to individual items, but to food groups. And this particularly goes to fish. And if you're thinking it's a friend or a foe, there's so much confusion in this area. So we definitely needed a podcast on this. So this week's Food for Thought sees registered dietitian Tai Ibitoye and I explore the nutritional benefits of fish. So its role in our diet and what we need to be mindful of. Hello, Tai.
Hi.
Hello, I'm so delighted to have you on the podcast today because I think that fish in particular is really controversial now, and the media traction this year that it's got to do with the environment, of course, is interesting. But would you still say, because as a dietitian, the nutritional benefits outweigh the negatives?
Yes, it does, absolutely. The nutritional benefits still outweighs the negative. Fish is a very important part of a healthy diet for those who can eat it, of course. It is a good source of protein, omega-3 fatty acids, which is mainly found in oily fish. Fish also contains so many important vitamins and minerals, which are important for our general health and well-being.
Yeah, and I know that because I remember the last lecture that I attended, I can't remember when that was now, I think it was last year at some point, online of course, pandemic times, but they were talking about the fact that people just don't consume enough fish in the UK anyway.
Yes, and you know there are many reasons to why that is. It doesn't help that social media is the use of social media is quite prevalent at the moment, and there was so many information being put out there about fish in a negative light, actually, which is, you know, drawing people away from consuming fish. But hopefully this podcast will change the narrative to get people to eat more fish, if they can eat it, of course.
Yes, I mean, there's two conversations here to be had, and speaking on the fact that, you know, fish is nutritionally important if you're able to eat it, of course, because we know that for sustainability reasons you don't have to, but for nutritional reasons, could you give us a quick guide maybe on how much fish you'd recommend firstly, and what are the types that people maybe should be opting for?
Yeah, sure. So the NHS recommends that we should eat at least two portions of fish a week, including one of oily fish. So one portion for an adult is about 140 grams when caught. And as a very, very rough guide, this is about the same size of the palm of your hand. However, it is worth pointing out that some types of fish, with some types of fish, some people need to be a bit more mindful of the type of fish they are consuming and how much they are consuming as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, would you go as far as saying oily fish, you know, the fatty fish is nutritionally superior maybe to the white fish like cod and haddock maybe?
Well, they are both nutritious in their own right. White fish are an excellent source of protein and they are generally low in saturated fat, which makes it a good alternative to red processed meats, for example, which tends to be high in fat. And it also contains important minerals like iodine and selenium. However, when it comes to oily fish, it does contain omega-3 fatty acids. A lot of omega-3 fatty acids, actually. But there are some species of white fish that can also be a good source of omega-3 fatty acids, like cod, haddock, sea bass, for example. But the levels are lower compared to oily fish.
Yeah. And would you say, like, in today's climate, with the quality of fish, because there's a lot of talk about farmed fish at the moment and different things, would you say that the nutrients are superior in a specific type? So with oily fish, would you say sardines are better than salmon? Is there a difference for people to be looking out for?
So in terms of the nutritional differences, I wouldn't say. They're both, you know, they do have similar vitamins and minerals. But I guess from a sustainability point of view, some people may, especially if there are people who are concerned about the climate and want to make better changes with the ecosystem, there are sustainability swaps that people can make when it comes to fishes. So potentially opting for more sustainable fish sources compared to others.
Yeah, it's... Because the nutrients, so you've mentioned omega-3 as well. Why is it so important? And also perhaps we should touch on maybe iodine here as well and what fish can provide that people don't know so much about.
Yes. So omega-3 fatty acid is essentially a group of unsaturated fats that we need in order to stay healthy. In particular, it's really important for good heart health. And there are many studies showing the benefits of including omega-3 fatty acid foods in our diet. So it's important to protect the heart and blood vessels from diseases. It may also help to maintain good memory. It may help in the prevention and management of depression. And it's really important for the healthy development of babies during pregnancy and breastfeeding. So it's super important. And when it comes to iodine as well in particular, we do know that it is a very important mineral. It has a lot of role in the bodies. And so, for example, it helps make thyroid hormones, which are needed to... you know, they are needed for many bodily functions and processes like growth, metabolism, and the development of baby during pregnancy and early life.
Yeah, which is all crucially important.
Yes.
Also, on the subject, of course, of childhood nutrition, we should obviously touch on pregnancy a bit more. And I know you've mentioned, you know, supplementation, but there's also lots of myths surrounding pregnancy. And one that, I mean, I had this really strange craving in pregnancy for sushi, and it horrified some of my friends. Like, you can't eat sushi, but actually you can. But the difference is it has to have been, the fish has to have been prepared safely, so it has to have been frozen first and then prepared, so you know that it's killed off any parasites or anything that, you know, could be causing harm. And you don't really want to be going for the sushi that's been on the conveyor belt all day. If you go to one of those places, you know, you want to be getting it fresh ideally, just to minimize any risk. But it's totally fine to eat sushi. I avoided tuna actually because of the mercury reasons that we've discussed, and I just stuck to kind of avocado sushi or salmon sushi, and there's nothing wrong with it. Just go to a reputable place, because it is, it's safe. And then actually I will also add, in other cultures in the world, they don't even have it as a thing. So, I mean, I guess that's just like pregnancy with cheese in France and places, really. But what's so interesting is I don't think people like fish. When it comes to food, it's not popular. And I think perhaps the smells, and I know that a lot of the time the oily fish, the omega-3s that we get from them. Actually, let's go into omega-3s before I go off on that tangent, Ty, because this is the component, isn't it, that helps with our health and preventing some diseases, I guess.
Yes. Yes, it does. So omega-3 fatty acids, there's a lot of focus on this particular nutrient because, as I mentioned, it has a key role in our overall health. So it helps to protect our heart and blood vessels from diseases. So there are studies showing that people who consume a lot of fish that contains omega-3 fatty acids, and they have a lower risk of developing heart disease compared to those who don't eat fish as often. And then also from a mood or mental health perspective, we know that it can help in some way, not for most people, but for some people, it can help in the prevention of depression and some other mood disorders as well, which some studies have found. But again, when it comes to research, there needs to be more done to for a substantial finding. But there are so many benefits of including omega-3 fatty acids in the diet.
Yeah, it's just such an interesting one. And I think when people look for omega-3 as well, there's a bit of confusion surrounding the two key three-letter words that are on the front of supplements in particular. So we've got DHA, yes. So DHA, yes. I should say, and EPA. So what are people looking for here if they are supplementing, they're not eating oily fish, or perhaps they're pregnant, they need to supplement? There's lots of reasons. And is there a balance of the two we need to know about? So two questions there. Let's start with what it is.
So there's three types of omega-3 fatty acids to be mindful of. So EPA, I'm going to try and pronounce this long name. So I do apologize if I butcher it. So EPA is also known as eicosapentaenoic acid. And
what a name.
Points for me. And DHA is also known as docosahexaenoic acid. So these two are types of omega-3 fatty acids. And then the third type is MALA, so alpha-linolenic acid. And essentially that is a dietary fat, which makes the EPA and the DHA in our bodies. But this is a very slow process, and only small amounts are formed. So that's why it's so important to get the EPA and the DHA from our diet. And we can get that mainly from oily fish like our sardines, our salmon, our mackerel, which are great sources of these. And then when it comes to supplementations in general, there is a lot of, I guess, confusion in terms of the types of supplements to take if people are not consuming oily fish. So some people think that they need to take omega-3 supplements, but this isn't really recommended in the UK for the general population because the evidence of benefits is inconclusive. So if someone is considering a supplement, they should consider taking a fish liver oil instead of omega-3 supplements. However, for women who are pregnant or planning to become pregnant, should be mindful of the fish liver oil because it does contain high amounts of vitamin A. And then also another thing to consider when it comes to supplements is to look at the labels for DHA and the EPA content. Absolutely, it's super important, and not many people do check the labels. It's so key to read the labels and to check the nutritional content.
Well, I think it's because people aren't told, like, well, what are you looking for? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so unfair, isn't it? Because when you're looking at supplements, like, so what should they be looking for with DHA and EPA? It's confusing, I think.
No, it is. It's very confusing. So essentially, if someone was to consider to buy a supplement, they should choose a supplement that provides them with the same daily amounts providing by eating 1 to 2 portions of oily fish per week. So that's about 450 milligrams of EPA and DHA per daily adult dose. So that's what they should be mindful of.
That's brilliant. Thank you. And yes. I mean, I guess there's a lot. I think people need a notepad and a pen while listening to this episode today. You need to take note of everything. Now, there's also an alternative. So if you can't eat oily fish, you need to get DHA, and they can take an algae version of omega-3, because the fish eat the algae, and that's the way they get the omega-3. So don't panic if anybody listening is thinking, oh, I don't know where I'm going to get it from, I don't eat fish. But what are the signs of a deficiency? Are there signs? Like, do we have any guidance on this?
Yes. So to my knowledge, here in the UK, I don't think omega-3 deficiency is a major concern compared to other nutrients like vitamin D deficiency, for example, maybe because it's not widely known, or I guess the need to investigate it isn't really important. However, there are certain signs that some people can be mindful of when it comes to omega-3 deficiency. So we know that things like dry skin or scaly skin can be a sign of omega-3 deficiency, but then it can also be a sign of other things as well. Also things like joint pains or brittle nails, these can be some signs of omega-3 deficiency. However, it's important to note that if some people do have these signs or symptoms, they shouldn't panic at all. It may not be an omega deficiency, and if anything, they should contact their GP for further investigation.
And don't be scared to contact your GP, because you know that's what they're there for at the end of the day, the National Health Service. You know, you can go and ask these questions, and I think a lot of people think, oh, I'll be wasting my doctor's time, but when it's your health, and if you want to get answers about it, it's not wasting anybody's time. And you know, it doesn't need to be an urgent appointment, but you can book it in for when they have availability. So please, please do go and see somebody if you want more advice. Now, if someone is eating the recommended amount of fish, would you still advise that they take supplements, or do you think that's enough?
Oh, that's enough, absolutely. If they are having fish, and which also includes oily fish as well, then they don't need to take supplements at all. It's not worth it, and they can save their money.
yeah completely. And are there any dangers to taking too much of this? Are there any risks around, you know, over supplementing? I know you mentioned particularly for pregnant women with the links to vitamin A as well, but what about for the general public taking too much?
I think, so when it comes to taking too much supplements, it's just not good for the overall health and well-being of an individual. So they may experience certain symptoms like abdominal pain, dizziness, and yeah, there were just so many symptoms just to be mindful of. But I guess to answer your question, there isn't a need for individuals to take supplements if they are eating fish. Especially oily fish as well, there isn't any need at all.
No, and again, but to the caveat that I would urge someone that wasn't eating any oily fish or getting enough omega-3, because we have relationships and links. I remember, I've probably mentioned it before to you guys on the podcast, I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but one of the first lectures that I had at university with Professor Simon Dial, that does a lot of research into omega-3 and actually neurodegenerative diseases, so you know the branches of dementia, and he mentioned from day one the one supplement that he said if people don't eat oily fish that he thinks people should be taking is omega-3. And it's such a grey area in a way, it's not as popular in the UK, but are there, or is there rather, a relationship between brain health that you're aware of and consuming fish?
Yes. So if you know me quite well, I tend to read a lot of studies, and see the evidence. You know me.
Your Instagram is fabulous. Yes.
Thank you so much. So yes, there there is a relationship between fish and brain health. There are studies that have shown that fish intake is positively associated with improved cognitive function and may positively affect the structure of the brain. Most studies have suggested that this is due to the omega-3 fatty acids found in fish. And what we do know is that omega-3 is important for our brain throughout life, from infant to old age. It is suggested that brain cells with high levels of omega-3 in their membranes are better at communicating with other cells, which is an important process for brain function. There are studies that have shown that people who do eat fish often, especially those who are above 65, so old age, have more gray matter in brain regions, which is associated with memory and cognition. And also, having said this, there are studies that have looked at the link between fish consumption and the risk of disorders affecting the brain, like dementia.
Yeah.
But the findings are very, very conflicting. So there was one particular study that followed just over 2,000 older adults for about 6 years. And they found that eating fish twice a week could reduce dementia risk by up to 41% compared to groups eating fish once a month. However, there was another study that looked at fish consumption, and they found that within 5,000 people, just over 10 years, there wasn't any change in dementia risk depending on the amount of fish consumed. So the findings are conflicting and very, very mixed, but it's so important to note that some of the research that look at fish consumption and brain health also consider other dietary factors and lifestyle factors that can also impact brain health too.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for rounding that up. I remember, because I've got a page on this in my new book, The Science of Nutrition. That's December 30th, nice. Not long now, but I remember reading this research and it was hard to get, yeah, like you said, decipher the positive outcomes and the ones that are not conclusive. And it really is a minefield. But I mean, I guess there's reason to believe there's a link there when you look at it and you delve in. And I think there's a lot of discussion as well around skin. I think all the time you hear about healthy fats and skin, and then fish and skin, especially, it's part of the culture, I think, over in Japan, actually, in some countries where they consume a lot of oily fish, or they did in generation ago perhaps, but there it's believed, you know, to give you glowing skin. Why do you think that is?
So again, it's just due to the omega-3 fatty acids, but then also other nutrients that are within fish as well. So it is suggested that omega-3 fatty acids found in oily fish are involved in building our outer layer of the skin, which helps to form the skin barrier and can also help to maintain moisture in the skin as well. So that might be some of the reasons why people may experience more glowy skin when they do eat their oily fish. And it's also suggested that omega-3 fatty acids might have some anti-inflammatory properties, which may benefit skin health too. But then it's not only about omega-3 fatty acids, but it can be due to the B vitamins found in fish.
Yes.
So we know that fish is a good source of so many B vitamins. And there is evidence to suggest that a lack of B vitamins or a deficiency in B vitamins may lead to cracks in the skin, which may not be ideal. However, there needs to be more research to actually prove this, but that's just what some of the research shows. But then, you know, there's a lot of focus on just that one single food like fish to promote all of these health benefits, but we need to know that, you know, fish is a component of a healthy, balanced diet, but there are so many other foods in our diet that can provide us with good skin health, and no one single food can supply all the nutrients that our skin needs. And we also need to consider other factors as well, like getting enough sleep, making time for relaxation, not smoking, drinking alcohol within safe limits, making sure that you're well hydrated, staying active as well, because this can be all good for the skin as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, it's, I mean, skin is, it's so interesting. I love talking about it. But I remember when a study yes. came out on almonds, it was quite a small study, but it was really exciting because it showed a difference in depth of wrinkle severity. And it was really interesting because of the vitamin E and the almonds. And what we do, I know a lot of it's genetics. We have to accept with skin, guys, you know, there is no miracle food, no super powder that can take away the genetic element that you are predisposed to. Just to get that in there, because I think it's important that we mention, you know, you're born with what you're born with, as well yes. as, you know, the epigenetic, the lifestyle factors that we have. So what about yes. any restrictions when it comes to fish? Are there any big no-nos that you really shouldn't be consuming, maybe?
Yes, there is actually. So, you know, we do know that fish is a very important part of a healthy diet. So we should be consuming fish if we can eat it. But there are some types of fish that some people need to be, well, everyone needs to be mindful of. So I guess we can start from oily fish. So because we've spoken a lot about oily fish. So oily fish is really, really important. It contains omega-3 fatty acids and so many essential vitamins and minerals. However, oily fish can contain low levels of pollutants that can build up in the body. And so, you know, we like to say moderation is key. And in this case, it's definitely key. So it's recommended that girls, young girls, women who are planning pregnancy and pregnant women have no more than 2 portions of oily fish a week. And this is because the pollutant found in the oily fish may build up in the body, as I mentioned, which can affect future development of a baby in the womb.
Do you know what I was also reading into this? And there's a gender difference. So it's yes. apparently, yeah, to do with females, isn't it? Because mm-hmm. of the mercury levels affecting future pregnancies. Is that also a thing?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It seems quite, so it's, you can imagine our listeners are probably thinking, well, you're saying we need to eat more fish, but now you're saying we shouldn't have more than this amount because of this. So mm-hmm. it isn't black and white, is it, this discussion?
No, it's not. And I guess it comes down to, you know, when it comes to different types of food, moderation is key, and being mindful of how much you're consuming, portion sizes, you know, that they're all very important. Food, all types of food does play a role in a healthy, balanced diet, and they are super essential for our general health. But when it comes to different life stages, there are certain foods that we just need to be a bit more mindful of in terms of how much we're having and how often we're having it as well. So oily fish is one of them. And that's not to say you should totally avoid it. No, you know, have it as part of your diet, but in terms of how much you're having, it's just to be a bit more cautious. But then also when it comes to other fishes like shark, swordfish and marlin. We know that children, pregnant women, and women who are trying to get pregnant should avoid this totally. And that's because they contain a lot more mercury compared to other fish, which may affect a developing baby's nervous system. But when it comes to the general population who do consume this, they should have no more than one portion of these types of fish per week. And then lastly, tuna. So tuna is really healthy for us to consume. However, again, if someone is trying for a baby or a woman is pregnant, they should have no more than 4 cans of tuna a week or no more than 2 tuna steaks a week. But if they are breastfeeding, there isn't any limit or restrictions on how much tuna they can eat.
Yeah. And I think we should bring up tuna with the sustainability topic as well, actually, because it's really sad. I remember going, I was so lucky, Ty, I got this amazing job in Barbados, like of all places. And I got to take my husband, I mean, it was many years ago now, but I remember getting to work with a hotel out there. And they took me to the local fish market. And I'd never seen tuna before, as in the size of a tuna fish. And they were telling me the process, and I hope I don't get this, it probably won't be as factually correct as it could be, but from what I remember, they caught the fish in Barbados, but they'd have to send it over to America to get it graded for use in sushi and then ship it back to Barbados because they don't have the facilities there to grade the fish. And straight away, you're looking at this chain of production, which obviously as nutrition professionals, we don't know that much about. We know more about, you know, the nutritional, we stick to our, you know, what we know. But it was so fast. I don't pretend to be an expert in this at all, the production chain. Yeah. But I remember thinking, wow, that's a lot for the environment. And that's what happens all over the world. And tuna in particular is overfarmed, overfished. We have a real problem at the moment. So, you know, cans of tuna are so popular in the world. We need to really be opting for other fish, really, don't we?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, what we do know is that sustainability is a major concern at the moment, and the fish stocks as well. And when it comes to choosing certain types of fish in order to make more sustainable changes or have sustainable options, there is a good guide in terms of what you can consider when buying your fish. So there's a society called the Marine Conservation Society, and they recommend choosing Marine Stewardship Council, so MSC, certified fish, which is recognized by the blue fish tick on seafood packaging. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've seen it on certain fish packaging. Yeah. So if you see the blue fish tick, it means that it's a sustainable source, and you can definitely buy it. And so that can be something for some people to look out for when they are doing their fish shopping next time, to just have a look at the seafood packaging and if it has that logo on it. But then also with the societies, the Marine Conservation Society, they have also produced the Good Fish Guide, which helps people keep up to date with the most sustainable fish available around the world. So that can be something for some people to look up if they want to make more sustainable fish choices. So it's the Good Fish Guide by the Marine Conservation Society.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that with everyone. Please go and check that out so then we can all make better choices whilst keeping healthy at the same time, because I think that's really important. And for people that say, well, my kids don't want to touch fish, you know, what's the advice for children? At what point should they start eating it? I mean, I've personally had my son on salmon since he was weaning, so obviously in tiny amounts. But what would you say are the guidelines there for children?
So when it comes to children in particular, as a dietitian, we like to follow guidelines that is out there. And the current guidance is that fish can be introduced in the diet from 6 months of age. But when introducing a baby to solids, though, it's really important to take great care not to put them at risk of choking or any sort of food safety risk. So if you are introducing fish in baby's diet from 6 months of age, just make sure that you are removing any bones from the fish. And in terms of specific recommendations on how much fish a baby or a young child should consume, it's quite similar to the adult guidance in terms of having at least two portions of fish a week, including one oily fish. However, the portion size will be different. So what we know is that one portion size for an adult is about 140 grams, which is similar to palm of the hand when cooked. But one portion for a baby or a toddler would be a lot less compared to an adult. Yeah, it'd be so tiny, super, super tiny. So we would say that for children between 18 months to about 3 years old, they should have about a quarter to three quarter of a small fillet of fish. So that's considered as one portion. And for children between the ages of 4 to 6 years old, half to one small fillet of fish is equivalent to one portion. For children aged 7 to 11 years old, 1 to 1.5 small fillet of fish is one portion. And for children aged 12 and over, it's quite similar to adults, so they can have 140 grams of fish, which is equivalent to one portion size.
Yeah,
hopefully that makes sense.
Honestly, it really does make sense. And I think, you know, with the really little ones, they don't have very big stomachs anyway. You're unlikely to get more than like a fraction of a fillet in. But it's a good place to start. And I think for people that don't like fish, and if it's something they want to introduce, what would be your go-to dish that you'd tell your clients maybe to cook up or something to start getting used to eating fish?
Yes, so there are many reasons why some of my clients don't like fish. It can be due to the taste, the texture, the flavour of it. And so I like to tell some of my clients, if they can eat fish, to maybe mix it in their favourite dish. So, for example, if they're having like a rice dish mixed with chicken and peas or other types of vegetables, they can replace the chicken with fish if they can. And then flavour it as well by adding fresh herbs and spices to conceal the actual taste of fish. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, but it's worth experimenting with different herbs and different spices. You can also try to change the texture of the fish as well. So I know for some people, they don't really like fresh fish or boiled fish. So I like to tell some of my clients to maybe grill it or bake it and put it in the oven to just change the texture of it. Sometimes it's a bit more palatable when you change the texture of the fish. Or you can put it in stews or soups or curries that have very strong flavors. Sometimes you don't really taste actual fish because the strong flavors disguises the taste and the aroma of fish. So these are some things for some people to consider, or you know, try to go for like ready meals that contain fish. So some ready meals are quite good, especially things like fish fingers that you can just put in the oven quickly. It's a quick dish for young children to consume. So that's something that you can consider to get your children or to get you eating a bit more fish.
Yeah, they're really good tips. Thank you so much. I think curries is actually a really good idea of things. And to get somebody onto it. And if we just, before we take questions from our listeners, just discuss the sustainability aspect, because while fish is incredibly nutritious, we are at a point where you know, fish stocks are rising. And I will say, if everybody just followed the guidelines, we would be okay, because two portions of fish a week isn't harmful. When we get into problems with the environment, it's when we have people consuming animal products for every single meal of every single day. So we're talking fish every single day of the week, or meat every single day, every meal of the week. And it's about getting that balance. And it's a shame, I think, in a way, that society has become so all or nothing. We do definitely need to be limiting our animal produce to do something for our oceans and for the environment, but it doesn't mean you have to give it up. And I'm sure, Ty, you agree with me there that, you know, we don't need to give it up, it's just less, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, exactly.
So if we take some questions, our listeners, for you now, Ty, I've got a few here. I'm just going to try and pick the ones out, that one in the discussion. Fiona has said, is eating fish sustainable, and doesn't it often contain microplastics?
That's a very good question. So we spoke a bit about the sustainability of fish. So fish can be sustainable if you are purchasing it from sustainable sources. And so when you are considering to buy fish, it's just making sure that on the packaging of the fish that it contains, or that it has the blue fish tick, which mm-hmm. shows that it's chosen by the Marine Stewardship Council. And basically they provide certain standards that certain fisheries should adhere to, which are ensuring that the fish stock is sustainable, minimizing environmental impacts, and effective management. So when you are buying a fish, it should make sure that you do see the blue fish tick. And in terms of the pollutants found in fish, there is a lot of concerns about it. And I guess that's also part of the reasons why some people tend to not eat fish. However, the levels in some of the fish are quite low. But as mentioned earlier on, it's just ensuring that you are adhering to guidelines when it comes to fish consumption, to make sure that you're not eating more than you should be, because we know that certain fish contains small amounts of pollutants, but if it's consumed quite often and in large amounts, it can build up in the body. So it's just making sure that you are being mindful of your fish consumption, and that moderation is key.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah. And then we've got a question from Karis. Oh no, maybe it's pronounced Karis, or you know, it might be a Welsh name, this. I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm part Welsh, so I should know. But she has said, is frozen fish as healthy as fresh?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. And the answer is yes, absolutely. Fresh fish isn't superior than frozen fish, and frozen fish isn't superior to fresh fish. They're both similar in terms of the nutrients that they contain, in terms of the goodness that they provide. So if you want to go for fresh fish, then totally go for it. If you want to go for frozen fish, then you can go for it as well.
Yeah, really, really, really good there to know. And yeah, it costs you much less, actually, probably, to get frozen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then someone here has said, I really don't like fish, Melissa has said. What other foods offer the same nutritional benefits?
That's also a good question as well. And the person's not the only person that doesn't like fresh fish or fish in general. I personally as well, I don't like fish at all. However, it's important to make sure that you are getting some key nutrients, such as omega-3 fatty acids from other food sources. So things like nuts and seeds contain omega-3 fatty acids. So your walnuts, your pumpkin seeds, your chia seeds as well. And some oils contain omega-3 fatty acids, so like rapeseed oil and linseed oil as well. Soybeans, fortified milk. So fortified soy milk contains omega-3, and tofu as well. If you can eat dairy products, there are certain brands of eggs, milk and yogurt that contain fortified omega-3 fatty acids, and some spreads as well contain omega-3 fatty acids too. But it's really important to make sure that you check the labels to make sure.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, you know, if you really are concerned, you can always supplement omega-3 and go to your GP, like we said at the beginning. So that does move us on now. Got a bit tongue-tied then. It does move us on to the fact or fiction round, Ty, which I'm sure you're buzzing about.
I'm a bit nervous.
Yeah, don't worry. Everybody is, but you don't need to be. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, here we go. If you could answer fact or fiction to the following questions. Everybody needs to take a fish oil supplement.
Fiction.
Smoked fish contains more nutrients.
I would say fiction.
Omega 3 is vital for brain development of a fetus.
Fact.
You can't eat sushi when you're pregnant.
Fiction.
Yes, exactly. Wild fish is much healthier for you.
Fiction.
Women need to eat more oily fish than men.
Fiction.
Your mercury levels will be too high if you eat fish every week.
It depends. Yeah. So when you say eat fish every week, how many are we talking?
Exactly. Yeah, how many fish? So that's what we like to call a faction. We're in between a faction.
Yeah,
a faction. eating fish will support your immune system.
Fat.
2.3% of the population have a fish or seafood allergy.
Ooh. That's quite specific, so I would say fact.
clever answer. Saltwater fish contains higher levels of sodium.
Fact.
Yeah, and that was our fact or fiction round. That was quick. Well done. Yes. But sadly, that really nearly wraps up our episode. And we need to finish today with our food for thought, which is our little take-home message we do at the end of every podcast, Ty. And I think after chatting to you today, mine would be that it really is about a balance. And I hope that it's also, you know, lifted the conversation that as a health professional that you have a responsibility to give your clients food options that provide nutrients, but we're now faced with a new issue of climate change and sustainability, and it's striking a balance between the two. So our responsibility ethically is to make sure people are getting the nutrients they need, but we also need to educate and show where it can be found. And it's a very difficult conversation. It's very new, and all of us health professionals are dealing with it as it's happening, which is not easy. But ultimately, I love the conversation we had around omega-3. So I hope everybody's learned a lot there. And of course, as I mentioned, you can find out more in the new book as well on omega-3. But Ty, if you've got I'm sure you have a much better take-home message to give our listeners today. What would that be?
I mean, you've said it perfectly, to be honest. but I would say don't fear fish. Fish has a place in a healthy, balanced diet. As long as you're following the recommendation by having at least two portions of fish a week, including one oily fish, making sure that you're not consuming much more than you actually need. And fish can be enjoyed. I mean, fish can be steamed, it can be baked, it can be grilled. It can be an enjoyable part of a healthy, balanced diet. And if there are women who are pregnant or breastfeeding, or have small children or babies, it's just being more mindful of how much fish you're eating, what types of fish you're consuming as well. And if in doubt, you know, speak to your doctor or a registered nutritionist or dietitian that can best support you.
Perfect. Ty, Perfect episode. Thank you so much for sharing your invaluable advice. Now, I know that you've been working on a lot of things in the nutrition world at the moment. So where can our listeners go to find out more about the incredible work that you do? And yeah, check out what you're up to.
Thank you so much. So I'm quite active on social media, specifically on Instagram. So if there are someone out there that wants to follow me, they can follow me on Instagram at Thai Talks Nutrition, or check out my website, thaitalksnutrition.com.
Brilliant. And you've also been working with one of our dietitians in the clinic, Kaf, on some exciting projects as well, haven't you?
Yes, we have. We've been working together. So Kaf and I have been working together on different projects, actually. But one of the main projects we're focusing on is diversifying nutritional advice for African and Caribbean individuals living in the UK. So we've created some great resources for people to read, lots of information sheets as well. And we're working quite closely with local councils and Public Health England as well, which is great.
It's amazing. You should be so proud of the work you're doing. And thank you so much, Thai, for coming on Food for Thought.
Thank you for having me.
If you are enjoying Food for Thought, you are going to absolutely love our up-and-coming episodes. So if you don't already, make sure you're subscribed. That way you will be the first to hear it every Monday. It would also be brilliant if you have the time to leave a review. These reviews are so crucial to make sure that we can reach more people and of course reach those higher highs in the charts. For more information about my nutrition clinic, the books, healthy recipes and so much more, please visit nutrition.com. You can follow me at nutrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok and YouTube. And of course, don't forget The Science of Nutrition, my latest book, will be out December the 30th, 2021.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.